Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, the 19th of March, six bodies are recovered and 40 people missing after a boat carrying migrants capsizes off the coast of Lampedusa. We look at the situation of Christians in Syria and their role in achieving peace in the country. But first, the United Nations says that two of its workers were killed and others injured after a compound in Gaza was damaged. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Israeli airstrikes on Gaza have continued overnight after the ceasefire brutally ended on Sunday. In most recent updates from the Strip, the United Nations says that two of its workers were killed and others injured after a compound was damaged. Nathan Morley reports.
The circumstances of the incident remain unclear. However, Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry blamed an Israeli strike and reported that five critically injured foreign workers had been taken to hospital. The Israeli military denied targeting the UN compound in Deir al-Balah. Israel resumed its assault on Gaza early on Tuesday, killing more than 400 people and ending a fragile ceasefire that had taken effect on January the 19th. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Tuesday that the military had resumed combat in full force. At least 14 Palestinians were killed in Israeli airstrikes across the Gaza Strip overnight. Security sources said the strikes hit Khan Yunis and Rafah in the southern enclave and a residential house in Gaza City. Four people, including two women, were killed when an Israeli strike hit a tent sheltering displaced families in Khan Yunis, according to sources. Another strike on a displacement tent in southwest Khan Yunis killed two more and injured five others. The most intense bombardment since the fragile ceasefire and hostage exchange deal took effect back in January. The escalation followed a breakdown in the negotiations between Israel and Hamas over advancing the agreement beyond its initial phase. The ceasefire deal, structured in three stages, aimed to gradually reduce hostilities and facilitate prisoner exchanges. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Meanwhile, in Syria, an estimated 4,700 civilians have been killed in the 100 days since former President Bashar al-Assad was ousted from the government. That's according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. After 3 months of peace, conflict reignited following a deadly ambush on a security patrol by pro-al-Assad supporters. In retaliation, gunmen supporting the new Sunni Islamist-led government are accused of carrying out targeted attacks. Speaking with Christian Media Centre, the Latin parish priest of Aleppo and the apostolic vicar of the Latins in Aleppo described the situation of Christians and their role in achieving peace in the country, as Kelsey Gussie reports.
Killings, kidnappings, theft, harassments and murders have marked the last few weeks in Syria. The Bashar al-Assad regime fell at the beginning of December, and 3 months later, unrest has once again erupted. The Latin parish priest of Aleppo, Father Bajat Karak, described the atmosphere in Aleppo and Syria as a whole as uncertain. He explained the fall of the regime does not automatically mean a return to normal life. People live in fear and are uncertain about what the future holds. Because, as Father Karak said, the few certainties that existed are now gone. The violence is the worst since Assad was overthrown in December, which ended 13 years of a bloody civil war. The apostolic vicar of the Latins in Aleppo, Bishop Hanna Jalouf, stressed that these clashes between the different groups are shameful. Christians are a minority in the country, making up 2% of the Syrian population post-civil war. Both Bishop Jalouf and Father Karak argued their presence has an important role to play in reconciliation. Father Karak described the Christian community as impartial, as they have never fought or used violence to achieve their goals. This, he explained, has allowed them to still hold credibility among Syrians. And this unbiased approach means Christians are able to build a bridge for dialogue between differing groups. The parish priest encouraged the Christian community to be a sign for those around them. In the midst of a country where religious freedom is threatened, and rather fanaticism is on the rise, Father Karak offered a challenge, that this should not discourage the Christians there. Rather, it should push them to be more creative. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Elsewhere, Italian rescue vessels have recovered 6 bodies and are searching for up to 40 people reported missing after the shipwreck of a migrant boat off the Italian island of Lampedusa. With bad weather making operations more difficult, the Coast Guard said it was being supported by aircraft supplied by the army and the police, as well as the European Union's border agency Frontex. Linda Bordoni reports.
Survivors said some 56 people from Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Guinea and Mali were in the dinghy when it departed from the Tunisian port of Sfax on Monday. It began to deflate a few hours later. In a separate search and rescue operation on Tuesday, the Coast Guard intervened in another sinking after being alerted to a dinghy in distress and found 10 survivors. They are being assisted in Lampedusa, a first port of call for many migrants seeking to reach the EU. Lampedusa is the destination of Pope Francis's very first apostolic visit, right at the start of his pontificate in 2013, when he appealed for protection and respect for those fleeing conflict and poverty, a call that has gained momentum and urgency, becoming one of the cornerstones of his magisterium. Meanwhile, a report by the UN Missing Migrant Project estimates that between 2014 and 2024, over 24,500 people drowned during the dangerous Mediterranean crossing. The project says the number may be greater as many deaths go unrecorded. According to Italian Interior Ministry figures, more than 66,500 sea migrants arrived in Italy last year, fewer than half of the 2023 figure. Italy's right-wing government has pushed for economic agreements with northern African countries aimed to prevent departures. This has resulted in many migrants being taken back to detention centres, mainly in Libya, where reports of torture and mistreatment are rampant. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Turning now to news about the Pope's health. On Monday evening, Pope Francis did not require the use of mechanical ventilation. This was the update shared by the Holy See Press Office on Tuesday evening on the 18th of March. He is receiving care at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, where he was admitted on the 14th of February for a respiratory infection and bilateral pneumonia. The statement noted that the Pope's condition remains stable within a complex framework and that there have been slight improvements in his motor and respiratory functions. Meanwhile, the group of African ambassadors to the Holy See has organised a special mass for the Pope's health to be held in the Vatican's Hungarian chapel on Thursday morning. The mass will be presided over by Cardinal Peter Turkson, Chancellor of the Pontifical Academies of Sciences and a native of Ghana. Joseph Tulloch reports.
The African ambassadors accredited to the Holy See have come together to organise a mass for Pope Francis's health. The event, which will be held in the historic Hungarian chapel in the Vatican grottos, will be attended by all ambassadors to the Holy See. It will be presided over by Cardinal Peter Turkson, a native of Ghana who has worked in the Vatican for over a decade. The mass, the African ambassadors said in a letter announcing the event, will be, quote, a moment of prayer and spiritual closeness to the Holy Father, at a time when his health is the object of particular attention. The ambassadors added that, with the celebration, they wanted to, quote, express our affection and support for the pontiff, renewing our commitment to follow his magisterium and to contribute to the spread of the message of the gospel throughout the world. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
The Holy See Press Office has announced that more news on the Pope's health will be released later on tonight. Meanwhile, Pope Francis today released his message for the upcoming World Day of Prayer for Vocations, which falls this year on Sunday, the 11th of May. In his message, the Pope invites young people to listen to God's voice in their hearts so they may be signs of his love for our world. Devin Watkins reports.
As he recovers from bilateral pneumonia at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, Pope Francis on Wednesday released his message for the 62nd World Day of Prayer for Vocations, which falls on May 11th. Entitled Pilgrims of Hope, the Gift of Life, the Pope's message recalls that every vocation, be it to ordained ministry, consecrated life, or the laity, should offer the world a sign of God's hope for every person. He noted that young people frequently feel dismay and confusion when they look to the future, given the background of insecurity, identity crises, unjust treatment of others, and general indifference. Yet the Lord, who knows the human heart, does not abandon us in our uncertainty, said the Pope. He wants us to know that we are loved, called, and sent as pilgrims of hope. Every vocational call, he said, ignites in us the desire to love others and serve them, rather than as a means of self-promotion. At certain points in life, added the Pope, God calls people to choose a path, whether it be to family life, the priesthood, or religious life. Pope Francis urged young people to take the time to listen to God's voice in prayer, even amid the constant bombardment of daily life and external pressures. He said it takes courage to pause and pray and to be open to God's dreams for our lives. Every particular vocation, added the Pope, is an expression of our overall Christian vocation to be Christ's presence where his light and consolation are most needed. The Holy Father went on to invite pastoral ministers and vocation directors to patiently accompany young people in their journey to discover their own vocation. A vocation is never a treasure stored away in the heart, he said. Rather, it grows and is strengthened within a community that believes, loves, and hopes. In conclusion, Pope Francis invited all Christians to pray for vocations and trust that the Holy Spirit will inspire young people to welcome their vocation. I'm Devin Watkins.
And finally, Pope Francis on Wednesday began a series of reflections on Jesus' encounters with various individuals in the Gospel as part of his larger catechetical cycle on the life of Jesus, our hope. His first reflection dealt with the encounter with Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus in the dark of the night. Christopher Wells tells us more.
As part of the larger catechetical cycle on the life of Jesus, our hope, Pope Francis began a series of meditations on Jesus' encounters with various people throughout the course of his earthly life. Indeed, there are encounters that enlighten life and bring hope, the Pope said. He began with the meeting of Jesus and Nicodemus, a man whose story shows it is possible to come out of the darkness and find the courage to follow Christ. In the Gospel of St. John, Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a leader of the Jewish people, first comes to Jesus in the night, but ultimately arrives boldly before Pilate to request Jesus' body after the crucifixion. Pope Francis explained that in St. John's Gospel, the night likely symbolizes the darkness of the doubt in Nicodemus' heart. If you are in the dark, the Pope said, of course you look for the light. Nicodemus therefore seeks Jesus because he has sensed that Jesus can illuminate the darkness of his heart. At first, however, Nicodemus cannot understand what Jesus tells him because he continues to think with his own logic and categories. He feels the need for change, but does not know where to start. Pope Francis said this happens to all of us at some point in our lives. Life, he said, lies in the ability to change in order to find a new way of loving, which Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus, calls a new birth. If we allow the Holy Spirit to generate new life in us, we will be born again, the Pope said. We will rediscover the life that perhaps was fading within us. I'm Christopher Wells.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. Many thanks today go to Alberto Giovannetti, our sound engineer in studio. And thank you to you for being with us today. Until next time, I'm Francesca Merlo.